Welcome into another Colorado Buffaloes football spring ball preview. Today, joined by Sean Niehoff, who has been doing in-season writing for BuffStampede.com on and off for a long time.
Quite a while.
I think I met you very early on covering Colorado back in the early 2000s. I remember, I think we were at a Colorado practice and you had your sons with you. And
yep.
It's been a long journey.
It's been a long time. A lot of ups and downs, probably too many downs, but now we're coming back up, and it's you know, I almost hate to say it, but it's fun again. So it's a good place to be. I know that we had talked in the past that there were some times where it had gotten to the point where it was more of a grind and not a lot of enjoyment. So
yeah.
It's a fun program to be involved with again.
Well, when you're just consistently beat it down year after year, and there still is hope that lives, but it got crushed really early on during some of those seasons. And I remember back in Carl Durrell's last season, back in 2022, you covered that game in Washington. I mean, we were still there covering this team to the bitter end of that season, but it made football not fun anymore,
right?
Almost.
Yep. Yeah, it was not a good place to be, and there's, you know, there's only so many times you can tell the same story over and over again. So
yep. We got a lot of stories now.
Now we've got plenty.
Today's episode is brought to us by Macaulay Capital Fractional CFO Services. If you are running a successful small to medium-sized business, you have an impressive set of skills, but as your company grows, you face new and different challenges. When you eclipse $3 million in revenue, you likely have a whole new set of financial challenges. Are you looking for financial guidance and support but don't have the resources to hire a full-time CFO? Well, we have the solution for you, hiring a fractional CFO from Macaulay Capital. A fractional CFO can work with businesses on a part-time basis, providing the same expertise as a full-time CFO at a fraction of the cost. You get the benefit of having a seasoned financial expert on your team without the commitment or expense of a full-time hire. We love to help your business thrive by improving its profitability and eliminating your financial headaches. Get a long-term partner you can trust to help craft your financial strategy, understand the profitability of each client, help manage your cash smartly so you can take advantage of rising interest rates, and more. It's likely that a partnership with Macaulay Capital will be a win-win situation, meaning that your business will make more money from the guidance of a fractional CFO than the total cost of partnering with Macaulay Capital. For more information or to set up a meeting, visit MacaulayCapital.com or email CFO@MacaulayCapital.com. That's MCCAULEY Capital.com.
I'm curious what your expectations are with Pat Shurmur installing his own offense now and Robert Livingston coming from the NFL with very little college experience, no true defensive coordinating experience. What do you expect out of both of those schemes as Colorado gets into spring ball?
Yeah, I think you guys touched on the Shurmur piece a little bit earlier with David, but you know, I think things are going to slow down, obviously, from last year. I think a lot of the focus, I don't think this is solely wise here, but I think a lot of the focus is making sure that Shador is prepped for the 2025 NFL draft. And so I think that they're going to be leaning heavily on a pro style. Shurmur has historically run a West Coast offense, a lot of 11 personnel. But I think one of the changes we'll see is a much heavier reliance on the run game and trying to get that going. So probably a lot of zone, a lot of inside and outside zone, and play action coming off of the run game. And you'll still have your deep shots, but that's kind of what I see the emphasis being this year is getting back to those true roots, not as much hurry up, probably. Shurmur does like to spread the offense out. That's kind of one of the keys to his scheme is spread the defense and then run at the spread defense is kind of where he starts things from. So I think we'll still see a lot of spread formations, probably, like I said, a lot of 11 personnel, not a lot of fullback usage, but whoever ends up shaking out of that tight end room with the new bodies that they've moved over in there, you know, I think will be really impactful in all phases of the offense.
And we've heard defensively that Livingston, at least before them even having any practices, is that it's a simpler defense, whereas Charles Kelly at times it was kind of complex, tough for guys to learn. What do you expect to see out of that side of the ball?
You know, defense is defense. I mean, I hate to say that, but defense is defense, and it really comes down to the players that you've got on the field, and I think that's going to be one of the big challenges for him in making this transition. Everywhere that he's been, they've played a 4-3 defense, so I think we'll probably still see a 4-3 heavy nickel, so it's really going to look a lot like last year, the 4-2-5. I think that's just the way the college game has gone, and that's, you know, that's taking advantage of probably one of the deepest rooms, you know, on the team and in that secondary group, especially the safety room. You know, it's first time orchestrating a defense, so really, it's, you know, the question's going to be, can he move the pieces and parts to be successful against all of the shifting offenses that we're going to see that are going to be fast paced too. And even last year, you know, Kelly had a problem, more surprisingly as the season wore on, with trying to be able to make personnel changes on the fly on the defense, getting players on and off the field. And I think that's one of the differences between the NFL game and the college game, is that instead of having, you know, to use a baseball analogy, 5 tool players all over the defense, you've got, you know, 3 tool players. And if you're going to change scheme, if you've got to cover a different offensive approach, you're going to have to change personnel. And so how can you do that? And can he, you know, is Livingston going to be able to play the speed chess game that's going to be required in coaching against college offenses? And so that's still, you know, yet to be determined. We'll see how that plays out. My guess is early in the season, probably a little bit shaky. His first time, you know, doing a lot of this stuff, but he's got a lot of support around him. And everybody that's talked about him raves about him in terms of his intellect, not only with football, but just that he's a really bright guy and sharp and should pick things up. So interested to see how that all plays out.
It would help so much if the edge group and defensive line is as good as we think it's going to be based on some of the personnel they brought in. I will say, in Charles Kelly's defense, he had to be probably even more aggressive than he wanted to at times last year, because outside of Jordan Dominick, he didn't really have consistent pass rushers that were able to get after the quarterback without being aggressive with different blitz packages. And it seems like with B.J. Green coming in this summer and some of the edge pieces that they've been developing, as well as better rotation on the defensive line, all of a sudden you're going to have guys that are winning more of those battles in the trenches, which should help Livingston look better as a defensive play caller.
Agree. And I think, you know, the other thing that's going to help out, and I know Chase touched on this, you know, when you were talking with him, is that he's interested to see how the inside linebacker room plays out. That's one of the groups that I'm interested in. I think, like most Buff fans, I'm a little worried about it in terms of the lack of proven talent that's there. And so we'll have to see what shakes out. But I think the biggest benefit that they're going to have over last year's group is that, at least on paper, it looks like they put together a defensive front that's going to do a better job at keeping blockers off the linebackers. They've added a significant amount of size on the interior. They've added some size on the edge, and just you know, a bunch of players that have proven, especially off the edge, the ability to get to the quarterback. So those things, you know, really, really change your ability to call a defense and to protect against a lot of those gash plays that hurt the Buffs so much last year.
All right, first day of spring ball, who do you expect, or who would you put out there if it was your call, for the first reps at cornerback, nickelback, and safety?
So I'm going to do this with, you know, I think Travis Hunter sees the field whenever Travis Hunter wants to see the field. So I'm going to kind of do this without him. And I think if we look at spring ball last year, you know, he didn't start on the defense right away. He was in on the first offense, and then he got some reps on defense. And with the offensive scheme changing again to, you know, to Shermer's West Coast pro style, I think we'll probably see that again this spring with Travis Hunter having more of his focus on the offensive side of the ball. I think Prime feels like he can put him in at cornerback at any point without reps, and the kid can just play. So I think the cornerbacks, I see the two newcomers really manning those two cornerback positions from the jump, and Hodge and McKinney. And then I think Shiloh's going to be your starting safety. I would probably, I think Cameron Silman Craig is still going to be slotted in at the nickel, but I think I wouldn't be surprised to see them go with Herman Smith at the other safety spot. All upperclassmen, all seniors, right in the safety room, and I think that plays. You know, you've got, they've seen it, they've done it. They've got experience back there, and most of them have played together. You know, Herman Smith has played in the past with Sanders and Craig, Silman Craig. So I kind of see that as being that initial grouping. But you know, again, that safety and nickel spot, I think, is really deep when you've got, with the position change, you've got Stoutmeyer that's going back there. You've got Jaden Milner-Jones, who we've talked about. You've got Slusher, who was actually the starting nickelback last year before he got hurt, and Cameron Silman Craig emerged. So you've really got, you know, even with Trevor Woods moving down to the linebacker spot, I think you've just got a lot of bodies that have played, you know.
There's not dead weight quite in that a bit room. Of
football, right. So, I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of interchanging of those six people, and then who knows what comes out of, some of the younger guys and who starts to emerge from that.
Any other position battles that have you particularly intrigued going into spring ball?
I'm really interested to see how the edges shake out. Whether it's they're calling them edge players, defensive ends, outside linebackers, all three of those positions are kind of intermixed in the roster, but you know, they brought in so many guys in there. You've got, Quincy Wiggins comes in who's really more of that true, kind of pro style defensive end. You've got BJ Green, who's a proven pass rusher. You've got Wade, you've got Okunloa, guys that are back that started to come on last year, like Arden Walker, who seems to be, picking up. I think there's just a ton of, proven and developing talent in those positions. I think that's going to be a big key for the defense is being able to find the right combination of those guys in the right spots with however, Livingston decides to run that front to be able to get pressure on the quarterback with the front four.
Any sleeper pick in terms of a guy that maybe isn't getting talked about a whole ton that you think is going to emerge this spring?
So some of my sleepers, I don't know that I think they're going to emerge, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them emerge. And Chase touched on a couple of them. And I think that Brendan Gant and Demoy Kennedy are two. But then the other one that I throw into that is Travis J. Travis J is a guy that got a ton of run at Florida State before he transferred. And he was injured most of the season last year, came in and played still, somewhat, not at full speed, didn't look great. And I think a lot of people probably are pretty down on him based upon what, the way he performed while still injured. So as those three continue to come back to full health and the athleticism that they've all demonstrated in the past, those are three guys that I wouldn't be shocked at all to see them, some combination of those three find a, regular contributing role in the defense.
Great stuff, Sean. So we've got one more segment coming up with William Gardner, then we're heading over to the Dark Horse. I think that's my favorite burger in Colorado. What's your favorite burger in Colorado?
I think you got to give that nod, especially the Jiffy Burger.
Yeah.
At the Dark Horse, that's just an icon, a tradition. I did want to throw in another one, though. It's been a while, and I don't even know if it's any good anymore, but For being a hot dog place, I always thought the burgers at Mustard's were pretty dang good. Mm-hmm. So that would be a close second to me, probably would be.
My brother's bar down in Denver. You ever been there?
The one downtown?
Yeah. Yeah. They've got good burgers as well.
Yeah. So I kind of gone to the point where I'm not much of a burger guy anymore.
It's tough as you get older.
Yeah. Yeah. If I want a burger, I'm just going to
throw
it on the grill and, you know, and fix it the way that I want it and get it done. But, there's a lot of bad burgers out there, but there's still a few good ones. I'm kind of looking forward to a Jiffy Burger here in a little bit.
Yeah, and we'll hopefully have you in the press box for the spring game.
Absolutely. I'll be there.
All right, looking forward to it. All right, one more spring ball preview to come with William Gardner.